Hello, and welcome to another episode of the SRUC podcast. I'm William Ansell, Head of Content and Digital, and I'm joined once again by Lorraine Johnston, SRUC's Bee Advisory Officer. This is episode 5 of our series on beekeeping. Today, Lorraine is going to talk about monitoring varroa and the dangers it can pose to bee populations. For those who don't know about varroa, you might want to listen to episode 4, where we covered varroa and what they are. Essentially, varroa are tiny red-brown external parasites of honeybees. They are sometimes known as varroa destructor or varroa mites. Varroa is one of the most damaging honeybee pests in the world. A significant varroa mite infestation can lead to the death of a honeybee colony. So, I'm joined once again by Lorraine. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, how are you doing? All right.
Good, thanks. Good. So, Lorraine, can you remind us of the threshold for the amount of mites there can be in a hive before they start causing severe damage to the bees?
Yeah, the maximum threshold for mites per colony before serious harm occurs is 1,000. So what a beekeeper really needs to do is make sure that they have treated for varroa before reaching that level.
And why is it important to monitor for varroa? Why should you be keeping an eye on it?
It's really important to give a guide as to how many varroa are in your hive, because if it reaches that threshold of 1,000, that's when it causes problems. And if you're monitoring for varroa, it will let you know if you need to treat your bees immediately or soon, or perhaps, if you're lucky, not at all. It's also useful to monitor to see if the treatment that you've used has worked or not. And you should monitor your bees regularly, around 6 times a year or more, especially after and before treatments.
And how do beekeepers monitor for varroa?
There are lots of different ways. One of the simplest methods is doing what's called a daily mite drop. There are more accurate ways that you could monitor for mites using something called an alcohol wash. But there are other ways as well. There's lots of options. You could use a CO2 monitor, and the method's quite similar to an alcohol wash, or you could do a sugar shake method. But that's not as effective as perhaps the alcohol wash. And drone brooding, capping and counting the number of visible mites on the drones, although that's not as accurate as some other methods as well. So there's lots of choice.
Lots of choice, yeah. And is there a way you would recommend doing a daily mite drop? What's the best sort of practice?
Ideally, if you want accuracy, I would use the alcohol wash. But most people, and especially beginners, will use the daily mite drop because it's simple and it gives a rough idea of the mites in the hive. So how you go about that, many beekeepers these days have open mesh floors. If you have a solid floor, you can still put a sticky insert in, but the varroa mesh floors are really useful in that if the varroa mites drop below that and there's a sticky floor there, the mites cannot crawl back up into the hive. But basically, you coat your monitoring tray with vegetable oil, petroleum jelly, or you use a sticky board that you've bought. So the mites that collect on that board, they don't get blown away when the tray is pulled out. And what a beekeeper usually does is they leave the tray in for 7 days during the summer or a little bit longer in the winter. And because the numbers of mites change throughout the year, there are different things you need to bring into consideration. So the daily mite drop can vary. 7 days is the minimum monitoring period, but you may well want to do it for 14 days or longer. So what you do is you count the number of mites collected and divide that by the number of days that your monitoring tray was left in. So if you leave it in for 7 days, you count the mites on the tray and you divide that number by 7, and that gives you the daily mite drop. Now, it is useful sometimes to have a really good set of glasses on you for this, so that you can actually get a really good look at the mites and count them accurately. And then what you do, because the mites can vary depending on the time of year, you multiply the daily mite drop by one of the following. So if you've got a daily mite drop of 3, for example, in November to February, you would multiply that by 400. And if you get near to 1,000, you need to treat. So actually, if you multiplied 3 mites by 400 during that time, it would indicate that you need to treat. In May to August, you would multiply that by 30. And March, April, so that's kind of like now, September and October, you would multiply it by 100. So if you had 1 or 2 mites in March and April, you might want to consider treating. The only other thing that I would add is that this method is not going to be much use when there's a broodless period, because the mites can't reproduce when it's broodless, or if the colony is so badly affected by varroa that it's going to collapse. So it's a simple method, and it gives most people a rough idea of how many mites they have in their colony and whether they should treat or not. And like I said, if it's over 1,000, you really need to treat. Anything near to that, you probably, you know, sort of 500-600, you're going to need to think about what you're going to treat with soon. The other methods, they are described in a link that we'll post at the end, but generally we're looking at no more than 3% of mites per colony.
And where can listeners get more information on varroa?
So there's more information on varroa on the Estimating Varroa leaflet, which has just been updated by the MBU, and that can be found on BBase, and the Managing Varroa booklet, which has also been recently updated, can be found on BBase and accessed through the links provided. There will also be a section on the Scottish part of BBase, and SBA members will have access to a Varroa learning package, which will be available soon.
Fantastic. And this Bee Health Improvement Partnership annual report has just recently been published. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this is the first annual report of the activities of what's called the Bee Health Improvement Partnership. We sometimes use the acronym BHIP to describe that partnership. And it follows the publication of Scotland's 10-year honeybee health strategy, which was published in 2022. It basically outlines and reflects on the progress made by the BHIP during the first full year of the honeybee health strategy. And what it is the members of the BHIP meet quarterly and they discuss the Bee Health Improvement Plan and how far we're getting along with that strategy and its implementation plan. And that group is made up of representatives from the Scottish Beekeepers Association, the Bee Farmers Association, the National Diploma in Beekeeping, myself at SRUC, Nature Scot, the Scottish Government, including SASA and the policy teams and the delivery teams, and it also includes the devolved UK administration, so that we've got a big oversight of what's going on with regards to bee health. And this report includes the achievements of the whole group in the last year and includes the SRUC contributions to education, such as talks, articles, working groups and events and podcasts like this.
And what will you be talking about in the next Varroa podcast? Because we've got another one coming up, haven't we?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about controlling Varroa using integrated pest management. So right. This is when we use a variety of ways to try and minimise the Varroa populations in your hive.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's the big problem for beekeepers, isn't it? As Varroa. Yeah. It's the one that's really, really hurting them. So as Lorraine said, we'll be doing more on Varroa in our next episode on bees, and it's quite a detailed subject, and it's a big one for beekeepers to be aware of. We'll put links in the show notes for the Varroa pages on the National Bee Unit website, and we'll also put a link to the Managing Varroa booklet, and also a link for people who want to register with the National Bee Unit. Thanks, Lorraine, for another really fascinating insight into the life of bees. And thank you to the listener for joining us for this episode of the SRUC podcast. As usual, you can listen to all our episodes on your podcast app of choice, and you can also listen online to all our episodes at sruc.ac.uk/podcasts. Lorraine, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, everybody.